All's my life I has to fight, nigga. All's my life I hard times like, yeah. Bad trips like, yeah. Nazareth, I'm fucked up, homie, you fucked up. But if God got us, then we gon' be alright,
right. Nigga, we gon' be alright. Nigga, we gon' be alright. We gon' be alright. Do you hear me? Do you feel me? We gon' be alright. Nigga, we gon' be alright. Huh? We gon' be alright. Nigga, we gon' be alright. Do you hear me? Do you feel me? We gon' be alright.
And when I wake up, I recognize you looking at me for the pay cut. Bahamas, I be looking at you from the face down. One Mac 11, even room with the face down. Skimming.
Welcome to the place where no topic is left untouched. I'm your host, Lexis Moore, and this is the Free Space, unfiltered, unrestricted conversation. Tune in as I discuss any and every kind of topic, giving my own opinion of what's going on in the world, while also sparking conversation using other people's point of view. New episodes drop on Fridays on Spotify, Stitcher, Apple, Anchor, and Google Podcasts. Make sure you follow on Facebook and Instagram at the Free Space Podcast. Follow on Twitter at the_free_space. And if you have any questions, comments, concerns, you need some advice, or you just want to get something off your chest, email the podcast at thefreespacepod@gmail.com. And remember, whatever you want to say, speak freely, because that's the motto of this show. Well, guys, I know I'm back after like a 2-month hiatus, but I'm back. So that's all that matters. And it's just been a little crazy, not real crazy, but it's been busy in my personal life. Work is still, you know, work. And as most people, if you haven't heard, I've started school. I'm pursuing my doctorate degree. So I'm balancing work, school, motherhood, life, all that. So that's why I've been gone for a little while, but I am back now with a new episode, and I have some guests with their first time being on the Free Space. I have MTV Poolside Chats.
Yes, sir.
And then I have AG.
What
it's
up,
your
what
boy
up?
AG.
Yep. Podcast
and,
show.
I said I'm so happy to have them here. If you know, it's been a while. But if you guys do remember, we had Smoke Free Weekend back in June, and NTV pulled me and AG in to record for Poolside Chats. So I had to hit my homies back up and be like, hey, y'all trying to come on the show, you know, get a little reunion going.
Yeah.
So they have graciously made time in their busy schedules to come on the show for this episode. So shout out to y'all. It's so good to see y'all again. We was talking before we started recording about just life after Houston. I think we all just been busy. I think after Houston, real life kicked back in and everyone's just been trying to make it right now.
catching up.
Yeah, being an adult is just no fun whatsoever.
Right, exactly. But before we get into the episode, of course, I want you guys to introduce yourselves, plug y'all shit, talk y'all shit. Whoever wants to start, let the people know who you are and where they can find you.
Well, y'all know I'm MTV. You know what I'm saying? Poolside Chats. You can find my podcast anywhere you find your podcast media, whatever you particularly like. You can also check me out, poolsidechats.com. If you just feel like following my personal Instagram, it is I am the Black Brad Pitt. You know what I'm saying? And that's me. I love it.
Okay. AG, tell the people who you are.
For sure. For sure. What up, world? It's your boy, AG. It's your boy, AG Podcast Show. We starting it back up. We putting it out there. But you can catch me on Instagram and Facebook at It's Your Boy Podcast Show. Unfortunately, somebody was hating on my world, you know what I'm saying, and they hacked me real good, you know what I mean?
Saw
and
that,
yeah.
I was like,
you know,
dang.
You know, I can't, you know, every time you try to go 2 steps, somebody try to knock you out real quick. But you know, I'm a soldier. So right now I'm in the process of getting everything back. I'm starting a whole new line of media outlets. I'm working with a group called Camera Click, which we are doing podcast shows, we're doing short films, we're doing media host table conference shows, whatever you want, we got it. So coming soon, you'll be able to catch me on all that. On my Instagram personally, you can catch me on All Good Five Show. And it's your boy AG.
Turn up.
Yeah, I remember it was like your profile like kept getting hacked. I was like, Shay, didn't he just get hacked? Didn't he just get
it was right after Houston.
It really was. I was like, wait, and then like because I think I got a couple of DMs. I was like, or Instagram. So I said, wait, no, is this him or is this the hacker?
Because you're right.
I was like, wait a minute, hold on.
I got a DM like a month and a half after the hack, like right, and they don't. Like, I low key forgot about the hack, and I'm like, and I started to call you. I'm like, wait a minute, this the hack,
right? This the hack, and it's right. So crazy because I tried to get it shut down. I tried to have everybody, you know, flag the page and everything, right. And Facebook would not shut it down. So basically, what they do is they wait until I have one of those moments where I feel like posting it. Get a lot of traffic, and then they'll circle the block and just start sending stuff back out to people. Cause I don't know if they didn't infiltrate it and got somebody else on another page and know when I'm posting, but it's crazy. But I'm still gonna keep shooting. You know, I ain't stopping.
No, I think it's crazy how, and I've been seeing this a lot lately, of like how Instagram like is like polices everybody else's profiles and comments and stuff, but yet people are getting hacked. Like one of my friends, his Instagram profile got hacked not too long ago, and I mean like they completely locked them out, and it was you know, sending like the DM for cash and all this other stuff, and we all kept reporting it, kept, you know, all the posts and everything, and nothing was done about it. Like Instagram, and they police everybody else's profiles or do like what's called like the shadow blocking or whatever. But like these scammers and hackers are literally flourishing. Like I get probably at least 5 to 10 follow requests a day, and they're all spam. Like it's the Bitcoin people, it's the Forex people, it's just random. And you can tell because the usernames all look the same. It's like the first dot last name, or it's in all caps. Like you can tell it's all spam. And it's like y'all police everything else, but yet I am literally getting hella follow requests every day from spammers and hackers.
I don't know if you got to deal with it, Lex, but I know we fellas do. We also get to click here if you want to see me naked.
I've had that happen a couple of times. I'm like,
I be hating that.
Yeah,
like I have my settings set where if it's not someone I follow, it goes into the message request, so then I can look in there first and be like, okay, block whatever other accounts they may create. But it's just like, I don't get it how y'all can let all the scammers and hackers flourish, but like y'all shadow blocking other people. Like, I don't know if y'all follow like the Embracing Black Culture Instagram account.
Their account got
like shut down on some bullshit, and saying that they had like something that was offensive on their profile, but it wasn't. And they kept, you know, appealing it and stuff. And it was like Instagram didn't want to appeal it for a while. So they had to use their backup account. And then like that got shut down. So like they're finally back up and running again. It's like, but how are you policing a page that's posting things related to Black culture, saying it's offensive? But like you said, you got folks hopping in people's DMs talking about see me naked.
Or DM for
this much money. And join Bitcoin and I'm like, no, like this is obviously a scam, but yet they're still able to flourish. Or like there's people, you know, trolling all the time. Like I don't understand that. Y'all picking and choosing who to police and block and all this other shit, while the real folks you need to be getting are still out here.
Exactly.
and we're not even gonna talk about getting thrown in Facebook jail for the most craziest.
I see it on my timeline. Friends be like, yeah, Facebook had me in Facebook jail for like a month, 2 weeks, a month, or for however long. Like they make them have to create a whole new profile. I think that's crazy.
Nuts. They don't want to see us. They don't want to see us shine. It's all good, man. The haters out there, but you know, you just got to keep on pushing.
You right. We gonna look. I'm gonna be quiet, but when they leave, I'm gonna be talking again. It's one of those. I'm gonna be talking again. That's okay. Yep. Facebook. Okay, Instagram. Okay, Zuckerberg. All right. Yep. Well, let's go ahead and get into the episode topics. So first, I have to give out the real MVP award. A shout out to D Dowdy and B Michelle of Herspective for having me as a guest on the show a couple weeks ago. I was able to talk my shit as a therapist because y'all know I love everything mental health related. So I was able to come on the show and just talk about mental health from a therapist perspective. And at the same time, being in therapy for myself, right. And like, do I practice what I preach with my clients? And then that's I also dope. Gave things as far as gave advice and information as far as like, you know, like from a parenting perspective and, you know, what mental health and substance abuse, they let me just, you know, get to just talk all my shit.
So vibe out. That's what's up.
So shout out to D Dowdy and B Michelle for having me on. If y'all haven't got a chance to go back and check out that episode, it is season 2, episode 23, Being a Therapist and Seeking Therapy. So y'all make sure y'all go check out that episode. I believe they're doing episodes all this month, I believe, regarding mental health. So make sure y'all go check them out and listen in. We had a really good time. We got to crack some jokes too. It was fun.
That's always fun.
Yes.
Right.
It was fun. It's always fun when I get to share my therapist perspective because like I'm being educational, but at the same time I throw in my, you know, little funny anecdotes and stuff. Cause listen, y'all think there be some moments where like it's real serious and, you know, I really be dealing with people's trauma and stuff, and then some shit be funny. Like I had my therapy session this evening before we recorded, and I was telling my therapist, we were talking about dating and relationships and stuff, because I've been working on things with that. And I was just telling like, I'm in this mindset now of where like, you know, I want to get married, but I realize that's not gonna happen right now. So let me just have fun and let me just enjoy casually dating. And
nothing wrong with it.
Right. So, you know, we were just talking about those different
things. So your royal oats.
Okay. Exactly.
Soil.
So I know I was telling her about like one guy that, you know, is from my past and we've been cool, but you know, and we hooked up a few like early on and was hot girl summer. And I was telling her about that. And then I said, wait, is that too much information? She said, no, it's okay. And I said, okay, I just want to make sure, because sometimes my clients be telling me stuff I don't need to know. I be finding out folks in polyamorous relationships and this husband want a threesome. And I'd be like, whoa, okay. Let's get, so how was your
depression? That's too much information. That sounds like Tuesday.
Hey, that's turn up Tuesday.
Right. Yeah, it's like I sometimes have like, you know, my everyday sessions that goes normal. And then every once in a while I get thrown for a loop on some shit. I'll be like, okay, I didn't need to know that. But since you're telling me, let me get this tea. Where's my popcorn? All right. Right. I'm gonna
start. Man, I guess this is a bad time to bring up the fact that I used to be in a poly relationship.
Oh.
That's all right. Hey,
That'll be next episode.
Yeah, I might have to have an episode on that. We might have to. I was like, I don't judge, but it was just interesting when I just gave her an example of like a client, how they was married and they was in the polyamorous relationship, and then the person they was in the open part, they also was polyamorous, and it was, you know, talked about boundary setting, and I'm like, okay, yeah, let's work on some boundaries. I was like, I can't do polyamory, but I can help you set some boundaries within the relationship. So I was just like, I don't want to be TMI. She's like, no, it's okay. But yeah, it's interesting when you're on the other side hearing people's problems and stuff. You know, it's always easier to listen to other people's problems and help them problem solve than it's yours. So that's a lot of what I, you know, talked about on the episode. So yeah, y'all make sure y'all go check that out. It's a good one.
Definitely checking it out.
Yes.
Five show.
All right, so now we're going to get into Speak Freely, and this episode's Speak Freely topic. So I think this has just gone viral in like the last 24 hours, because now I see it all on my timelines on Facebook, Instagram, everywhere. Have y'all been seeing all the red flag memes where now somebody like put something about that's a red flag, and they put all these red flag emojis following after. So like a couple I've seen is if they say grand rising, whole bunch of red flags. Right. For us, I would go lie, I was offended about this one. AG, you could appreciate this one. I saw this on Facebook. Someone put 1908, 1913, 1920, 1922, and all the red flags. And if you don't know what that is.
Let's give 1906 though.
Huh?
Nah, because they put
the sorority founding dates.
Oh,
yeah.
So like if you know Greeks, if you know Black right. Greeks, their founding dates, a dude put all the AKA Delta Zeta and Sigma Gamma Rho. I said, who hurt them? I said, wait, I'm offended. Right. Hold on, Who hurt him? I said, who hurt him?
It's a lot. It's a lot of hurt. It's a lot of hurt.
Yes. Hurt. I was like, oh my God. So like ever since this has gone viral, folks is just throwing things in there. A cousin of mine posted, you know, I play the drums at church and put all the red flags on there. I commented, I said, any church musician, all right. The red flags.
Right. Especially choir director. Choir director, the worst one.
Okay, listen, I told my cousin, my first love was a drummer. The second one was the musical director at my church. Right. Never again. never again.
Red flags all day, huh?
Yeah, but it's really funny because, you know, we laugh and joke about this stuff, but then some of it, people are hurt. You know, right. It's some projection.
And a lot of truth is said in jest also.
This is true. So as far as, you know, just talking about red flags in general, what are some of y'all's red flags in dating and relationships? They can be as funny as y'all want them to be or as serious as y'all want them to be. Oh, Nancy, I think you on mute.
Yeah, you on mute.
For real?
Oh, there you are. Okay, your voice is cut out. Go ahead.
I'm about to say, yeah, I ain't even touched my screen. But one of mine, I can't stand when you're trying to have a discussion with somebody and, you know, you can use whatever words you want, whether it's discussion, debate, argument, whatever it is, and they won't let you finish your sentence. Like, okay. That's a red flag for me. Like, if you're not willing to hear what I'm saying, then we're not going to get nowhere. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. Red flag.
Definitely.
Okay. AG, what's a red flag for you?
A red flag for me, I would say is, a woman that's too serious. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I mean, I believe in life and it being, an opportunity to enjoy, to, you know, have fun, laugh, live, laugh, love, you know what I mean?
Right.
And when you can't enjoy because everything is, you know, just so intense and so serious, that's a red flag for me. You know, I can't rock with a woman like that.
Okay.
I feel that.
Okay. I would say, I think, well, because one of the biggest things I look for in a man is definitely ambition, because I know I have ambition. I'm gonna work hard. I got goals. So I mean, I may fall off sometimes, but as far as like career goals,
get back up.
Right. As far as career goes, I know what I'm going to do. I know where I'm headed. Like, I got that on lock. So I do look for like ambition. So like if I see a man, it's just like, I don't know what I want to do with my future. Nope. Red flag. Mm-mm. You don't know what you want to do for yourself. I mean, I get it. We all have our journeys and all.
Right.
But at some point, we need to figure that out.
Yeah, like,
We need to get some counseling. We need to take a career personality test. Like we need to talk to somebody. We need to figure out some strengths. Like we got to eat. We got to pay bills. And, you know, I need to know that you not just have a career goal. Not that it's all about money, but I feel like a lot of what we choose to do as a career falls on the line a lot with our purpose, you know, and just knowing who we are. So it's like, okay, if you don't have any ambition, no goals, nothing to look forward to, it's like, do you even know who you are? And if you don't know who you are, how can we be together? Because that means you're not whole. And I'm trying to be whole over here.
Right.
You ain't got that figured out, then that ain't going to work. You know, I would definitely say that's a red flag for me. I hate it's fall. I don't know about y'all, but when it's fall time, I hate like the bugs and stuff that be flying through. I hate it. I hate it. Let's see, another red flag for me. I hate, like, so this is a funny one. It kind of reminds me like of the Grand Rising one. A lot of people under the Grand Rising one said, listen, I am not Pillsbury. I am not a biscuit. You do not tell me Grand Rising. Good morning. But like red flags is when I see like the long, hi, beautiful queen, you're just so amazing. And I just think you would be a great partner in life. And I'm just here to tell you, I have my own house, my own crib. I make my own money and you deserve to be treated like the queen that you are, queen. Don't let the
I'm laying it on too big.
Flag.
Yeah,
I feel you on that.
Extra.
I can't people who do with the absolute most, and I can't deal with people who Don't even do the minimum. Like,
don't even do the minimum.
You, like, I need you to do figure that out. But yeah, I think the red flag memes are hilarious. I'm sure they're going to continue for a while.
Oh yeah, you know, it's always something. Right after something, the next thing happens, right, and that red flag thing just pops. So it's going to be here for a couple of days, and then something else going to pop.
Right.
Exactly. Oh, you know, hey, nah, I guess you could say this is a comedic one, but it's still serious too.
Okay.
A red flag for me is when, like, a chick, like, on her social media, if every picture is like either the exact same angle or the exact same pose, like they only got this one little angle or this one little pose, that's a red flag.
If they, what if she don't know how to pose? Because sometimes I'll be struggling.
Well, that's the red flag. I don't like that.
Like, he said, I don't like that.
Show me your left side. Why is all your pictures on your right side? What's going on that left side?
What if that's her good side?
Well, let me see the bad side. I need to, you know what I'm saying? The cliche is flaws and all, right? Let me see the flaws. So I know what I'm getting myself into.
I see what you did there.
Yeah, because I mean, the reality is, man, you know, a woman can look nice with all the makeup and, you know what I'm saying, and, you know, the way she carry herself. But if I can't deal with a woman if I can't see you in your natural state.
I need to see you, you know what I'm saying?
If I can't wake up to you one day, or not even wake up, but if we just chilling and you got to literally, you know, do this, that, and the other, just for us to chill.
Like, that's, I'm just trying to grab a cup of coffee real quick. You talking about you going to be ready in 2 hours. Right. We're getting coffee. The lashes don't need to be straight for this coffee.
I'm going to challenge that. So can you please tell me why y'all, because I'm on my dating app since I'm out here, you know, trying to have a hotation.
Ooh,
you know?
Let's not get on that.
Not the holodecks.
Can you tell me why y'all male counterparts on these dating apps be taking all y'all selfies in the car, like just neck up in the car, or y'all angle the phone down where I can literally see all up your nostril? Why? Yeah. Why?
See, you got to ask, I think you got to ask a different crew. You know what I'm saying? I don't think me and AG the right ones to answer that question. Because I abide by the shame, like, just like the red, it's a red flag for me. I try, and you know, I wear a lot of hats. So a lot of my pictures is in hats, but I make sure I post one with the hair out so that you see it ain't no fugazi hairline and all that. So I make sure I give you a nice little variety. I give you like a little serious look. I give you me clowning. I give you me, you know, with a Batman mask on or something, like, just because, it just to let you know, you're going to get a whole lot of variety with me.
I've noticed
that on all the dating apps. I'm like,
that should be a red flag for you too. Like, you can use my red flag. It's cool. I ain't gonna charge you no royalties or nothing. If you see a nigga with all the same, especially if they doing the light skin eyes, if he light skin eyes, then red flag, instant red flag.
And then the other thing is, them cats probably got a woman at the crib. You know what I'm saying? So they got to take all their pics in the car, you know, to still be on the app. You know what I'm saying? To try to get it off.
Or maybe they don't have a home at all.
Hey, or maybe they don't have a crib.
He at his grandma's
house. Maybe he at his mama's house.
You know what I'm saying? Hey,
I'll be taking the day. I just got out of my grandmama's crib, so I can't even talk bad about the
but you got a crib though, MTV. You got a crib.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, because this cat's deep stunt. And I mean, women do it too, but the reality is, man, if you really trying to. And I don't know if we're getting on this topic or not, but that's why the dating app really is just kind of like shits and giggles for me. You know what I mean? I can get on there and just see who doing what and why they doing it. Because the reality is, I done met a couple nice females off the dating apps, but it ain't really went nowhere. I mean, we still cool or whatever, but I just can't see it. And I mean, not saying that it doesn't work, because I know it's some, you know, it's some happily couple, you know, happily ever after couples out here that met on dating sites, but it's just a little tough, man, to take people serious on the
dating. And that's exactly why I got off of dating apps, because I felt like you don't never actually meet the person. You know what I'm saying? You just meet they image that they portraying for you.
The representative.
Yeah, you meet their representative. And everybody is specifically trying to post, like I done had, like, homies, like, hit me, like, hey, should I put this picture up or should I put this picture up? Like, nigga. Like, come on, bro. Like, just put up a picture, man. And that's exactly why a lot of time, like I don't never put up no car pics. I don't ever put up no whole lot of jewelry pics. I don't ever put up no shirtless pics. Like, that's just whack to me. It's like, bro, like, just be your natural element. You know what I'm saying? Like, 9 times out of 10, like, when I was still on, like, them dating apps and whatnot, like, I'm definitely going to have on, like, a Captain America shirt or something. Like, I want you to know, like, you're getting a nerd that's going to wear a $12 Target shirt on y'all first day. Period. It is what it
flat,
is. Deal with it.
Flat.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, I like that. You got on Marvel right now, so.
Right. Let's get it. You know what I'm saying? And matter of fact, $12 Target shirt.
And you got the Captain America in the back.
Because, like, at least as far as, like, when my pictures for dating apps, I like to, like I said, because I wear short hair, I'll wear my wig, sometimes I have my glasses on, sometimes I don't. So I try to have pictures so you can see, like, I'm still me. Right. I just switch my look here and there.
Right.
You know, but I'm still the same person. But some of these niggas don't, like, their pictures is all, like I said, they all in the car, they all up their nostril, they don't put no information on the profile, don't even list, you ain't got to list where you work, because I get that, you don't want that out there. But your job title, like, you know, man, no information about yourself. It's just, how do you ask me out? Just ask me. All I want you to do is be honest. All I want is keep it 100. Right. What else are you looking for? No catfishes. I don't even know why I'm on this app. So then why are you here, nigga?
Right.
Hey, I'm going to be 1,000, though. Like I said, I go on there for shits and giggles. So you're not going to find nothing in my profile for real. You know, as far as, you know, what I'm talking about or whatever, because my thing is, if you're interested in the way I look and then we can match and chop it up, then that's
what we have a conversation.
You know what I'm saying? Because I just feel like too much information ain't good either, because now you assuming shit too. Like, you know what I'm saying? You know, oh, this nigga might have it or all that. Like, nah, I don't really want to assume. And I don't mind a woman not having nothing. It's intriguing a little bit. If you know, if she looks nice.
I'm the opposite, AG. I can't even lie to you. I want the bio to be like a page and a half long. Yeah, so I can be like,
I need to know everything.
I'm not that invested.
I overthink everything. Like, I overthink everything. I can't just jump out the window. Like, I can't just be like, swipe. Like, even if the picture be fire, still got to swipe up and check that bio out real quick.
Right. Yeah. That's how I am. Like, I just need a happy medium. I need to at least have enough on your profile where I can see where, okay, we have some common interests, enough to intrigue, to pique my interest, to want to get to know you more.
I need an Aaliyah 4-page letter.
if you're going on there to find love or find somebody special, then yeah, I'm guessing you probably would need that.
You need to get on Match and eHarmony.
Yeah,
what I need to do, I need to get on like Poly Tinder. I need to match with two at a time.
No, you know what? But you know what? You really don't need to get on Poly Tinder, because some of those have been coming up in like the feed.
Like, looking, like, for a third.
Yeah, the husband and wife, like, we are a polyamorous couple looking for a third. And I'll be like, what?
I actually got that
message one time. I tried POF, never again. The husband was like, yeah, me and my wife are looking for a third. And
plenty of fish. Don't go POF.
That's not central.
Oh,
yeah, that's not
even thought central. Like, that's bruh. Just...
POF was too much for me, and this is MTV you talking about.
Right. This is MTV speaking.
POF is literally like the bottom of the barrel garbage.
Yeah, it is.
It is all bad. So
POF is in Tinder and Craigslist.
I've heard some success stories. Some people have had luck on POF. I think it depends on where you are.
Yeah, with some ass.
Yeah, right.
They got some ass.
Right.
They might have got some good ass, but they ain't had no marriage or nothing.
Man.
Okay, so a red flag. If you met them off POF, red flag.
Man, red flag. Or if you meet her and she got a POF account, like, red hold flag. On, you on POF?
Oh, no.
That's what you need to do, Lex. Like, whatever app you on, and then like you meet up with, like, you connect with somebody or match with somebody, ask them, like, hey, what other apps are you on? Is
where they head is popping up too, because I'll see one on Hinge and then the next one be on Bumble or vice versa, and I'll be like, I saw them already. Okay.
Hey, I ain't gonna lie though, Bumble has some quality. Back when I was doing, like, Bumble was But I hated that you got to wait for them to say hi, do you think? Like, man. But,
oh, yeah. The ladies start that one first.
Yeah, but Bumble has some fun. Like, Tinder was, what was that other one? It was some other one. But the Bumble has some fire. I can't lie.
So y'all ever paid?
I have paid, but I ain't paying no more. You know, they want to charge you like $30, $40 now? Tinder, Bumble, and Hinge for the premium. I'm like, y'all were free for how many years? And now y'all want to charge all this money? If I'm going to pay $30, $40, I'm going over to Match, period.
Yeah. If I'm paying $30, $40, I'm going to just go to the bar and buy a drink.
You feel me?
Okay, let's meet them organically.
Yeah.
I'm back to the old school.
And that's another reason why that's why I don't take it serious either, because I'm not paying for the app. So if I ain't paying for it, then I ain't really about to indulge in it like that.
See, who's already liked you? Like,
yeah, nah, I'm cool.
Again, this is for fun and the rotation. I just want a nigga for brunch, a nigga to take me out to eat, a nigga I can call for Netflix and chill. The fuck, buddy.
Like, I see you out. I see you out here with the building, nigga.
Play dates.
You
know what I'm saying?
Right.
Everybody gonna have a role.
Yep.
Everybody's gonna have a role.
Get your role. Well,
you're holding auditions.
Okay.
Hey, get your role.
I got to.
Got a casting couch.
Right.
She got a casting couch and shit.
I'm just saying. I have my wants. I have my desires. And until a nigga come and show correct, I'm about to just run the rotation. Y'all just all gonna have a role, and everybody gonna be on the roster. We'll rotate in and out.
10 years from now, Lex gonna have a Me Too movement, and this is gonna come up. This is gonna come up as evidence. Like 10 years ago, she said she wanted a rotation.
She wanted a rotation,
and that's fine. That is fine. Okay, well, we have to take a quick break because Zoom's going to log us out, and then we're going to log back in and pick up where we left off.
All right. That's cool. Okay. I can eat my pineapples real quick.
Okay, pineapples. All right.
Pineapple.
We know what pineapples do for you. Okay.
Oh, my God.
Hey, G, get ready for his rotation.
Right. Hey, I got a funny thing to say when we get back.
Okay.
All
right. Right. Okay.
It's cake season.
Okay, y'all, we need to take a quick break, but we're back. All right, so we're going to go into Hollywood highlights.
If you are what you say you are, a superstar, then have no fear. The camera's here, and the microphones, and they want to know.
So for this episode, my first Hollywood highlight is in sports. So as we all know, we are still in this damn panorama. It ain't over yet.
No, the panorama.
The panorama, the Pandora's box, the whatever you want to call it. We still in
pandemonium.
All of it. We still here. And so with the pandemic, you know, of course, there's been the controversial and back and forth about getting vaccinated, and how, of course, a lot of jobs and industries are now mandating employees and workers to be vaccinated. So in the sports world, it was just recently released that Kyrie Irving cannot play or practice with the Brooklyn Nets because he has expressed some concern about getting vaccinated, and being that is being mandated until he gets vaccinated, he cannot play or practice with the team. So, of course, everyone has their opinions on vaccines being your choice and not being mandated, whether the vaccine's safe or not. This has been an ongoing topic, and it obviously ain't going anywhere anytime soon. So as far as employers and industries mandating the vaccine in general, what's your guys' opinion of that?
I personally think it's insane to mandate. I don't understand that. But I'm not like a conspiracy person. Well, I am a conspiracy person, but I don't think there's any kind of conspiracy behind the vaccine. I'm not anti-vax. I ain't going to go to no school board and meeting and cuss out the teachers for wearing masks. Ain't nothing like that, but I just feel like I don't understand how, like, you can mandate this vaccine. Like, it doesn't make any sense, especially like when you actually look at the numbers of things. Like, it's just ridiculous.
Okay. Okay, what do you think, IG?
Totally insane. I'm against the vaccine. I'm just be 1,000. I'm not getting it. I mean, I'm glad I'm an entrepreneur. I'm glad right. I don't have that issue to deal with. But you know, it's so like heart wrenching though to see that you know a fellow citizen or you know family member has to go through this though for you know to continue their livelihood though.
Yeah.
You know, just because something that I feel like isn't even factually completed, you know, right. or the in-depth research isn't done. Like,
and the research change all the time. Every day they say something different.
Yeah, it's insane, man. And it's sad too at the same time. And you know, it's unfortunate because you know, you look at a guy like Kyrie that's in the league, and this is what he does for a living.
How he feeds his family.
Yeah, and for them to say all this that he didn't gave to the NBA, and now you're gonna tell me I can't do that because you know, I'm not about to get this vaccination that some people don't even have to get in the government. Right. You know, it's a whole right. bunch of little loopholes and things that's going on. So I don't know. I'm against it. That's where I'm at with it.
I had a conversation with a homegirl of mine, and I told her, because she's for the vaccine mandate. She feels like everybody should have to get vaccinated regardless of what your job is, regardless of what your career is, whatever, whatever. I said, aren't you pro-choice? Like, how you pro-choice, but you pro-mandate? Like, I don't, like, the logic doesn't make sense to me. Like, how you gonna say you support a woman's right to choose because it's her body, she's supposed to do what she wants to with her body, which I agree with. For the record, I want to let everybody know I'm pro-choice, you know what I'm saying? But like, how you pro-choice and you pro-mandate? I don't, the two don't mix. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, that's an interesting point. I would say, as far as the mandate, because, well, y'all know with me working in mental health, technically that's still healthcare. So I'm coming across people all the time. And even with now, like, we're still doing mostly telehealth, but we are having clients come in the office that they feel comfortable. So I do think if you are in a healthcare field, yes, because you are literally in contact with so many different people all of the time and from different walks of life. So that's just, to me, it's a matter of I'm going to keep myself safe. I want to keep you safe. Let's just all keep each other safe. I mean, granted, we know with the vaccine, technically you can still get COVID. So I'm not going to reiterate that.
Yeah, that's it.
In regards to that, if it was the case of could this prevent us from having COVID? But since it doesn't, it's just a matter of since we do come, at least for me, my decision was, because I come in contact with people, I know I want to be outside this summer. Let me get the vaccine. So if I do get COVID again, because I had my bout last year. So and thank God it was minimal mild symptoms. But in case, you know, especially with this new Delta variant, I don't know how I would react with that. Let me just get vaccinated so that way I can at least just cover my bases. I'm just the person. I'm a person where it's like, I'm going to cover my bases just to be on the safe side. Like, if there's a chance that I can minimize my likelihood of becoming severely sick and or dying, of course, I'd rather err on the side of caution for me.
And me personally, I believe it's everybody's choice. If that's the choice, the informed decision that you made, that's your decision. Mm-hmm. I'm not anti-vax by no means. You know what I'm saying? If you feel like that's what you should do, you should go do it. But I'm sitting here looking at my phone right now. I just Googled how many COVID deaths there have been since the inception of this whole thing. 720,000. How many COVID cases is 45 million. That's less than a 2% chance of dying if you actually get COVID. That's a less than a 2% chance. Out of the number of people, that's what, 340 million people in America? That's less than a fraction of a fraction of a fraction of a percent that you're going to die from COVID. And like, these are the numbers that like the media don't tell you. All they say is over 700,000 people dead, but 700,000 out of 340 million, that ain't really a lot. That's like a drop in the bucket. Yeah. So that's the reason why that.
And I do agree that, like y'all were saying, how the news changes and stuff and they don't always report everything. I do agree. And that's why I think there is so much controversy about, do you get vaccinated? Do you not? Should it be mandatory or not? Because we're not always getting the full story all of the time.
They're not going
to. And any single medical official or any type of doctor that actually wants to speak against the vaccine, they immediately shut that shit the fuck down. Like we were talking about Facebook Instagram earlier, you immediately shut down. And then, like if you're a medical professional and you're speaking your medical opinion, why should we not be allowed to hear you? I can understand if you want to shut down the, you know, crazy yahoos, but I mean, who's to say who's like crazy yahoos?
Yeah,
like
the conspiracy ones, yeah.
Right, but that's, like, but yeah, so they shut down and canceling all the whistleblowers. And then on the strength that, why are they paying people to get it then? You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
Why are these incentives being pushed on? And you know what I mean? Like, it's just too much for me now. Like he said, like MTV said, I'm not against you doing what you want to do at all. You know what I mean? I'm just saying, me personally, I can get into the conspiracy type things too, because I know that this world is not always truthful.
Right.
And you cannot believe everything that you hear on the news and, you know, the media, what they give us. They give us what they want us to know.
At this point, all news is fake news.
And that was going to be my follow-up question, because along with Kyrie, I know Letitia Wright, who plays Shuri in Black Panther, she expressed concern about the vaccine. Nicki Minaj did too, but we know Nicki ain't always about the right
thing.
I
even supported that. Like, if that's how you feel, that's how you feel. If you make an informed decision for you, your child, you a mother, Lex, you know what I'm saying? Like you said, you in the healthcare field, you come across a certain amount of people every single day. If that makes sense for you, I feel it. I dig it. Like, no matter how crazy your story is, no matter how logical your story is, I support it. You know what I'm saying?
I think, my issue is when, I think the key word, like you said, is informed decision. Right. A lot of people are deciding to not get the vaccine because of misinformation, because they're not doing their research, or they're just like, well, I just don't trust the government. Or they bring up the Tuskegee Institute experiment. And I actually seen an article from a descendant of the Tuskegee.
There's several of them that came out.
She said, these two things are not the same, y'all. Stop. And that's where I think with celebrities, and what I'm also seeing is because people's paranoia and panic is still definitely very high, because I get clients that mention, like, I don't feel safe going outside. I think I'm going to get microchipped if I get the vaccine. Like, we about to be in some Big Brother type shit. And I'm like, okay, y'all, I get it. People have died. It's a very serious situation. But let's think logically here, people. And that's
where the microchip argument is just asinine.
That's
insanity.
Like, my thing is, okay, if you don't want to get the vaccine, cool. I understand. You know, like you said, your choice is about what's going in your body. But don't start perpetuating and projecting your paranoia and your fears to tell other people not to get the vaccine because you're misinformed. That's not cool either. And especially if you bring up, well, the news don't know everything, or they don't. Okay, well, you're not giving the right information either. So you're just as bad as Fox News. You just as bad as everyone else if you're telling people to not get the vaccine because you're misinformed.
And anybody that be talking about the government tracking them, like, I'm the, like, first of all, the three of us are all directly on a government trackable device.
My iPhone's the feds, because it's literally anything from the TV or like conversation. Next, you know, I'm getting email about it.
I was about to say, bro, I got 2 phones, 2 iPads, 3 computers. Yep. I got Alexa. And that's the biggest lie I ever told. People be like, oh, Alexa's only listening when you say her name. Well, how the fuck she hear you say her name? If she don't listen until she hear her name, how does she hear you say her name?
If I say Alex, she be lighting up. I'd be like, no.
Right.
Because my name's Alexis. My son's stepmother's name is Alexis. So I could be like in conversation and Alexa think I'm talking to her.
I'm pretty sure she triggered just hearing y'all say it. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. Right. Exactly. Like, I distinctly remember like hearing like all the radio commercials on like Optima Tax Relief. Why I started getting emails from Optima Tax Relief. I ain't signed up for Optima Tax Relief.
Easily.
Hey, I mean, you got to think, man, they give you plain sight information too through, you know, different movies and these web series, all types of, you know. So, I mean, the thing is, man, you just got to be aware, and you can't push your thoughts or, you know, how you feel on people. I'm definitely not doing that. Like you said, I believe what I believe.
Right.
And I'm not going to tell nobody else what to do, but I don't want you to tell me what to do either. You know what I'm saying? And that's what me and my mom, you know, I even had to tell my mom, like, look, mom, I love you to death.
Right.
But you're not going to tell me that I have to, and that, you know, it ain't no other way but to not know. Like, I'm grown, you grown. I'm gonna make my decision just like you made yours. Yeah. And that's how we're gonna keep it moving. We're gonna,
like, my grandparents, I took them to go get vaccinated. You know what I'm saying? They in the they in that range where it makes sense to get vaccinated. I understand. If this is what y'all want to do, let's mount up. Hold on, let me get my jacket. I went with them to get vaccinated. Mm-hmm. For me, I'm 42 years old. I don't smoke. I drink a little bit. I don't do no drugs other than vagina and coffee. I don't, like, you know what I'm saying? I don't partake in any type of high risk, you know, quote unquote behavior. I don't have no pre-existing conditions. I'm not a target to die from COVID-19. I don't take no flu shots. I ain't never took a flu shot, and ain't nobody ever told me, oh, you can't go to work unless you get this flu shot. Ain't nobody ever
said that. Mandated a flu shot. Yeah.
You said what?
My job mandated a flu shot. Mm. I had to finish my hepatitis B series. And then, of course, you know, we always have to get a TB test because that's, you know, skin to skin. So that's always
mandatory. Gotcha. Yeah, I just I'm not a flu shot type of person. I mean, I'm just not I don't know. I just have never, I'm not a huge get sick type of person. I don't get sick that much. I only get sick like once every few years. And when I do, I be sick than a motherfucker. I ain't gonna lie to you.
I'm the same way. It's like if I'm running around and doing too much, and then my body says, okay, sis,
your body
sit down.
Sit your ass down. That's when I do get sick is when I'm weary. Like when I've been doing working two jobs or something, that's when I end up getting sick.
That's natural, you know, though. You know what I mean? Like, that's what should happen. Like, you should be able to take care of yourself. And when you're not, or when you're doing too much, your body's going to tell you that. And that lets you know you need some rest. You need to get on your vitamins more or whatever you need.
Right. Drink some orange juice. You know what I'm saying? Like, really? Like, I don't understand. Like, these people that don't take vitamins. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I take vitamins on the reg.
I need to take some vitamins.
Man, vitamins is the shit.
Yeah, they key. They key.
Yes, vitamins is the shit. I like it. Yeah, man, I think I get with celebrities speaking, I think because one, people's panic and paranoia is so high from us not getting, we know Trump did not do good with getting us all the information. But I think a lot of what I also feel like I'm seeing is people are hearing celebrities' opinions and then taking that as gospel. And then, like, twisting their words. Because then, like, I see people in threads saying, like, no, they did not say don't get the vaccine. They just said these are their concerns for the vaccine. And again, we're not making informed decisions because people are relying on other people to confirm whatever they're already fearing because they're afraid to do the research on their own, or they just rather be ignorant and not find out for themselves. That's the part I don't agree with as far as voicing your opinions about the vaccine. Like I said, don't perpetuate or project your ignorance for other people, because everybody's panic is, I mean, not everybody's panic, but a lot of people's panic is still very high. So you're not helping the situation by giving false information just because you're afraid. Like that.
Right. Don't do that. Nah, I definitely feel that. And also, too, I wanted to go back to a point AG said earlier. I kind of forgot about it, but you were talking about like how messed up it is. That people's livelihoods is being put in jeopardy, whether or not they want to take the vaccine or not. Somebody that me and you both know, I'm not going to say her name because she might not want her name out there, but the whole girl that was at your birthday party from the Natty, she was forced to take the vaccine in order to finish her last semester of school. Like, she was going to throw away 3.5 years if she didn't take the vaccine. You know what I'm saying? And she was really seriously like on the fence. Like, I don't know what to do. I don't want to take this vaccine because, you know, she has certain health issues. She don't know how that vaccine is going to necessarily mix with the issues that she got. And, you know, she had to really like sit down with her husband and like really like make a decision on whether or not she ended up doing it, you know, and everything's fine. She good money. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, thank God everything worked out for the best, but she was really torn.
Like, I mean, you gotta be. That's
$5,000 worth of education out of this. You know what I'm saying?
That's tough. They ain't gonna pay her back either.
Right. You know what I mean?
So,
damn sure ain't gonna pay her back.
They want all they money. So, yeah, but I would say, you know, for anyone who still has qualms about the vaccine, like I said, I'm not sitting here saying like I'm not trying to, I ain't judging nobody. Like I said, you do what you feel is best for you. But as far as any concerns, just make sure you, like I said, make sure you're making an informed decision. Right. Get reputable, credible sources. Like, actually look up these things. Don't go into these conspiracy theories. Don't go based off people's anxieties. Or, yeah, I heard they made my cousin's dick fall off. Or I think one I heard is that they caused... talked about that on Herspective. There was something that was said that it causes infertility. And then I heard on the radio a black doctor
that might be a selling point for niggas. Niggas,
right? But then on the radio, there was a black doctor that confirmed the vaccine does not cause infertility. So that's why I'm saying, like, if we're going to make decisions about our health, let's make informed decisions. Because a lot of these same people that are saying don't get the vaccine, it's gonna make your dick fall off, or it's gonna cause this and cause that, you probably ain't even been to the doctor, so you don't even know if you in good health.
Right.
Right. So if you ain't been to the doctor in about good 5-10 years, I don't think you much of a reputable source, because we know shit can be underlying and lay dormant for a long time and then sneak up on you. So make sure your health is in check before you go trying to be at somebody's doctor family somewhere.
And I know y'all a little bit younger than me, but I'm definitely at that age where I'm supposed to just go to the doctor and be like, hey, I'm 40. What's all the shit I'm, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
I know I'm well overdue for that. Hey, I'm 40. What's all that little random shit you're supposed to do and all that?
Get your nuts checked, all that.
As women, we got to get our pap smears and
right. I know I'm at that age where I need the colon, whatever the fuck shit. And I think that's twins, staying bro. Away from it sometimes.
Hey, man, you're going to have to get your duke shooted, bro.
I'm at that age. It's that time.
You know what I'm saying? You're going to have to get the duke shoot, bro. And,
you know what I'm saying? I'm going to have to bite down on the towel or something.
Right. What you call that, AG? The duke shoot?
Yeah, man.
My uncle told me
I can't say it. Colonoscopy. Yeah, colonoscopy. I was like, why can't I say the word?
Yeah,
the day no man looks forward to, but right. We all know it's inevitable.
Don't get me canceled out here like the baby or something.
Some of y'all niggas might be looking forward to.
Yeah, don't get canceled, bro.
No, I don't want to get canceled. Cancel me like Dave Chappelle. Cancel me.
And that's a great segue, because I was about to bring up Dave Chappelle. Let's get to it. Okay, so as I have now, disclaimer, I have not watched the comedy special for myself. I'm going based off what I have seen online and reports and whatnot. So this is just a
funny
summary.
As fuck.
Yeah, I ain't watched it either, though.
So Dave Chappelle's new Netflix special just dropped, and a lot of people have said it's funny as fuck. Man. However, the closer has also had some controversial comments and topics regarding the LGBTQ community. So a couple things, just a summary of some things that was said. So Dave Chappelle had first joked about DaBaby, because as we all know, DaBaby had his controversial homophobic type of comments that he made during the concert. And Dave Chappelle was talking about that. And I quote, he has said that DaBaby, you know, after he was dropped from all the music festivals for his comments about HIV, he said, punch the LGBTQ community right in the AIDS. Then after that, he's saying DaBaby made an egregious mistake. And then Chappelle also noted how DaBaby was also once involved in a shooting at Walmart. And he made the following comment to say, you know, nothing bad happened to his career, but do you see where I'm going with this? In our country, you can shoot and kill a nigger. It says the N-word, but I'm saying a nigger, a nigger. Mm-hmm. But you better not hurt a gay person's feelings. And then he also continued to say that he's like, we blacks, we look at the gay community. We go, look how well that movement is going. Or look how well you're doing. And we've been trapped in this predicament for hundreds of years. How are you making that kind of progress? I can't help but feel like if slaves had baby oil and booty shorts, we might have been free 100 years sooner. And there was also some comments that were considered transphobic as well during the special. So I've seen a mixture of things. I've seen folks that say that Dave Chappelle should be canceled. Even people who identify as transgender and are Netflix employees have threatened to walk out if Netflix doesn't cancel Dave Chappelle and remove the special from Netflix. I've seen other people say you need to watch it in its whole entirety so you can understand the actual context of it. So, yeah.
Well, since I'm the one who's actually seen it, I'm gonna jump out there first. You know what I'm saying?
Go ahead, MTV, since you've seen
it. But like, I 1000% agree that you should actually watch it and hear it in its context. You know what I'm saying? Because everything is different when you hear a snippet versus when you hear the whole conversation. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, y'all might not feel me on this, but I'm going to use this as an example anyway. When Kanye said slavery was a choice, mm-hmm. that was some bullshit. But mm-hmm. if you hear the whole interview, what he's saying is like, man, for 400 years, like that sounds like a choice to me, because he basically was saying like motherfuckers should have revolted and like got up out of that shit, mm-hmm. which still, I understand, it's still some bullshit. It's a lot easier mm-hmm. said than done, my nigga. It ain't right. like we just
do it. They tried. They was trying.
Right. There was a lot of attempts. Yeah. The only one we know about is Nat Turner, but we don't hear about all the other ones. Right. You know what I'm saying? Exactly.
But then there were some slaves that made it a choice, that henceforth why we have the term Uncle Tom. Oh, Samuel right. Jackson and Django. He made that a choice. He said, so, Massa.
Right. And, that, and that's why I'm saying, like, when you hear something in full context, you can make a better decision about it. You can say, oh, Kanye's comment was some bullshit, or you can say, damn, I kind of feel where he was coming from. When you hear the full context of, if all you hear was slavery was a choice, nigga, that's some bullshit. But mm-hmm. so back to the Dave Chappelle, if you watch the whole thing and the way he flows it in and the way nobody's talking about how he ended the special, I'm not going to tell y'all because it's spoiled, but he ends it and he brings it full circle where he like basically, you know what I'm saying? It makes a lot of sense the way that it's told. First of all, it's funny as fuck. Second of all, it's comedy. It's stand-up comedy. Like, we got to right. have something. Like, we got to stop the cancel culture at some point. Like, yeah. some point, like, we got to have it's cool over here. You know what I'm saying? Like we got to have somewhere where, I mean, like, some of the best comedians and funniest comedian shows, like, comedy things that we've ever seen in our lives, is like Eddie Murphy Raw, Eddie Murphy Delirious, George Carlin. These were some offensive-ass shits, but it's the
funniest. Oh, yeah. I laugh at Delirious all the time, and Eddie Murphy definitely talking about, I know that you know yeah. want to fuck me up the ass.
Right. Like, come on. So, yeah. like, I mean, we just gotta protect art, man. We gotta protect art. And yeah. I'm not saying that, like, this gives a green light to, you know, whatever racist ass, super mega homophobic ass. Like, I understand if you just out here like, man, fuck these faggots. Like, you say something like that, yes, look, get the fuck out of here. But if you just, like, making a little gay joke, that ain't the end of the world. You know what I'm saying?
I believe we as a world has become very sensitive to, you know, media and platforms, you know what I'm saying? Right. Like, allowing it to rule our thoughts and guide our hearts, you know what I mean? Because, you know, the fact that comedy has been around for years, mm-hmm. and Dave Chappelle is a mogul at it, mm-hmm. and he's done some outrageous things, he said some different things, and now, like, the time that we're in, they're taking it, you know, to that level because of what's right. going on in the world. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I just believe that we as a people can't allow these things to continue to happen. Like, you know, people got to stand up for it. Just like they stand up for them, we got to stand right. up for each other too. You know, and right. I'm not gay, I'm not bashing, I'm not against trans, I'm none of that. You know, right. I'm love the people, like, I'm for the people, but
I identify as lesbian, so technically I'm a part of the LGBTQ. Right.
So, hey, girl.
What Dre say?
Girls like.
Girls
no. We're not going to attribute that to Drake. I've been saying that shit for like 3 years. Drake stole that shit from me. That's why they don't trust these light skinned niggas. I'm trying to tell you, they steal your shit and then make it famous.
But no, like, for real though, man, we gotta stand up for each other. You can't let these things just be. Take us out, like, oh, he right. canceled. All right, then he canceled. No, we got to fight. Like, it's important.
And also too, on the flip side, like where Lex said that, like, you know, trans people that work for Netflix, they feel as though they're gonna walk off their job because they feel so strongly about it. Hey, if you feel that strongly about some shit, yeah. I support you too. Like, if you are trans or you are gay and you feel that strongly about it, then who the fuck am I to tell you how you supposed to feel? Because right. I can tell you right now, like, if it was like some black shit and I work at a job and it was something where I felt like it was some racial bullshit and everybody else is like, nah, it ain't that serious. It's just jokes. It's just jokes. Like, fuck y'all. Like, if I'm black and I'm at the job, fuck what y'all talking about. This is how I'm going to feel about it. So you can't tell me how to feel as a black man. I can't tell you how to feel as gay, trans, like, you know, whatever the acronym or pronoun might be, whatever the fuck it is. If you feel how you feel and you feel strongly and convicted about it, the same way I support Kyrie being able to say, nah, fuck this vaccine, I support you as a trans person being able to say, nah, fuck Netflix, I ain't fucking with y'all.
The sad part is the black people won't get the same media
at all. You already know.
So I think, like you just said, NTV is a good point. Who am I to tell you how to feel? And that's my problem with cancel culture, because if you happen to not see anything wrong with something that someone has said, depending on what it is, because some things are black and white, some things aren't, right? So the things that aren't always black and white, people are quick to try to make them black and white and say, no, you're wrong. And now you're morally corrupt. Now you're a bad person. Because I had been told that when the Kirk Franklin situation come up, some girl on Twitter was arguing with me saying, just say he's your fave. Just say that. And it's like, ma'am, you don't even know me, first off, for you to make that judgment. And little do you know, what'd you say?
You talking about him cussing out his kid?
I said is it possible that there's been a cycle of abuse? Yes, because I counsel people on it every day.
Right.
And I told her that. I was like, I'm a therapist. I was like, I know the signs of abuse. They're like you said, Auntie, there's no way to say from one clip if someone's being abusive. We don't know the full story. But I was told apparently that Kirk Franklin's just my fave. And that if I'm a therapist and that's my opinion, then she's very concerned for the clients that I counsel and whatnot.
I have never listened to Kirk Franklin a day in my life, and I fully support him cussing his son out. Cool.
Listen, I mean, I ain't trying to get on the tangent and switch subjects, but sometimes people take you there. From what I can tell, there's obviously some mental health struggles for his son, because he did the same thing with his own mama. They were trying to convince him to get help, and he was videotaping it recently saying, they're trying to lock me away. They're saying I'm crazy. And I'm like, okay, so y'all, do y'all still think Kirk Franklin was wrong for going on?
Right.
Obviously something ain't right here. He's doing the same thing again. So something ain't right here. But that's my thing.
It's 9 times out of 10, if you're yelling, they're saying I'm crazy, you're probably crazy.
In this situation with Dave Chappelle, like I said, I haven't seen the special, so I'm not about to make any assumptions based off just comments and people's opinions. Like you said, I'm gonna watch it. If I get the time, I'll watch the special and I will draw my own conclusions from there. I don't think that and if I'm offended, then I'm offended. That's because it aligns with, you know, whatever my beliefs are. If I'm not offended, it could be that I just see it in a different perspective. Like you said, I just see it as just jokes. But I don't think that if you don't see it as a problem, that now you're this morally corrupt person with no values and no respect for, you know, the LGBTQ+ community or whoever, you know, I feel like cancel culture is really quick to, like I said, just take one small part and then blow it up to be this big thing, right?
Right.
So if you're offended, okay, because it's obviously something that was said or done that doesn't fall in the line with your beliefs, but that's the key word, your beliefs.
Right.
If it's not a situation that is black and white, beliefs and opinions cannot be necessarily proven by fact all the time. You can maybe back it up with some evidence as to why you believe the way you do, but it's still your belief. And beliefs can change because facts will change.
Facts. Facts.
So you can't say,
The way I felt 20 years ago about rape culture, for example, and you know what I'm saying? Some of the misogynistic ass shit I have said and done in my past. Mm-hmm. I don't feel the same way about it now.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
And that's the other issue I will say when it comes to canceling people is, okay, they said something, they did something wrong, they're no longer capable of change. People can change. If you believe that people can't change, then there's no point in having therapy, counseling, or any type of rehabilitation services. Everybody would just be a fucked up individual if you don't believe people can change. Don't want to change, i.e. R. Kelly. You know, R. Kelly obviously did not want to change, and this is why he was found guilty for his charges. So there's that.
And see, And see, to your point earlier, Lex, R. Kelly is one of the ones where I feel like it's the black and white. Like this nigga pissed on a child, my nigga. Like, what are we still, why are we talking about this? Like, right. Why are we still having this?
Like, there is concrete evidence. Right. That like, this shit on, was bro. Covered up for years. And for folks years. Are still like, he all ain't the, doing. Yeah. Well, what about the parents? Okay, the parents are at fault too. But stop are, deflecting. And this is about R. Kelly. Look,
that's the only problem I have with this whole situation is all them fucking enablers should be in the courtroom. Yeah. What is it?
Like, oh, I do agree too. Man, everyone needs to be held accountable.
The parents, the security, the managers. Yeah. All that shit. Everybody that ever paid some hush money. Everybody that ever went to McDonald's to pick a little girl up for this nigga. All you niggas
knew about it. You need to be in the courtroom. I agree because everybody played a role. Thing.
Man, it was so many enablers around this month. When I was watching, because first I didn't even want to watch that fuck ass documentary, but I ended up watching it.
Oh, I watched it via Twitter. I didn't have cable at that time, but Twitter was commenting so much I knew what was going on.
But hey, when I found out that the little girls, like some of the little girls that was getting abused. They parents and uncles was a part of this nigga's band. When I tell you, I wanted to go on a slap fest. Like I
the
just
the girl he pissed on was Sparkle's niece. Nigga. That was Sparkle's niece.
Nigga. And like, and that was one thing, like at least with her, I did see the pain in her, like, you know, in her face and in her interviews and stuff. Don't, I'm not excusing it by no means, but I could tell she was at least hurt. Some of these other motherfuckers was like, yeah, you know, I was playing guitar for R. Kelly at the time. So you know. You
oh, bitch yeah, I recorded shit. The shit. Oh, yeah, that was a wild ass party.
Bruh, these motherfuckers. I remember even when the little parents was like looking for him or whatever, and they was like outside the building where their daughter was in, and they was like calling the police, and they was like, oh, we ain't allowed to do it. Man, I wish I'm up. Look, I don't even have any children. If one of my niggas called me and be like, hey, my daughter is in this crib, R. Kelly got her. The police said there's nothing they can do. Nigga, give me about 15 minutes. I'll be there.
Okay, I'm rolling up, period. And I wish the police would say I'm wrong. I'd be like, you mean to tell me I'm wrong for rescuing my child from a known pedophile? Right. Now, when we was 12 and 13, we may have not been so sure, but it's known. Right. It's confirmed now. Yeah, so
it's certain shit I'm happy to do jail time for. And if it's getting a little girl out the midst of a fucking pedophile, and fuck it, nigga, I'm smiling in the courtroom. You know what I'm saying? It was me.
Yes, Your Honor. I did it.
Moving on. You know what I'm saying? Fuck out of here. Yeah.
Moving on.
But yeah, but to the Dave Chappelle thing, man, I really do want both of y'all to watch it. I would be kind of anxious to hear y'all thoughts once y'all actually watch it. Because I do believe in the context of the actual special is way different than just hearing these little clips. And I agree with a lot of shit he said. Like a lot of the shit he said, I agree with. Some of the shit, I ain't even gonna lie. That shit's a little much for me. But you know what I'm saying? But
dude, that's just Dave Chappelle. We know him.
Yeah, the majority. Because like, he even said, like, he made one joke and he looked at the crowd and was like, oh, don't worry, it's gonna get worse. I'm like, God damn, like, it's gonna get worse than that. Like, you
I
know
get
what I'm
worse.
Right. But y'all definitely should watch. And I would be like to hear y'all's opinion once y'all see it.
Definitely.
I'm going to watch it when I get a chance, when I get some time. All right. Okay, we're going to take one more quick break, and then we're going to get into the main topic, and we'll see y'all soon. Okay, we're back again. I appreciate MTV and AG hanging in here with me. I was just explaining them my Zoom subscription. You know, when you ain't got the Zoom subscription, Zoom be kicking you off now after every 40 minutes, you know. But we back.
Zoom Beasley so, Bay.
What do you say, AG? Bay.
They be Zoom Beezy baying you.
Right. But we're going to finish this last part. And this the main topic is why I had MTV and AG on this episode is talking about men and their emotions. So we did the poolside chat episode, which again, I just love very much. So AG dropped the most beautiful gem, and I will never forget it, is when he said, and I quote, I realized I needed to just talk because I was always just listening, and I needed to talk, be the one to talk. And once I started talking, things started coming together. So I really wanted to talk about when it comes to men being able to talk about and deal with their emotions, because I feel like this is definitely something that a lot of men do struggle with, whether you're black, white, doesn't really matter the race. I definitely come across it a lot in clients that I counsel with, my male clients, especially if they've had trauma, where a lot of times they were told, you know, they can't express their emotions, suck it up, be a man, you know, you know, just move on, let it go, get over it, right? And so then it does end up causing a lot of issues for them emotionally as far as how they connect in their romantic relationships, how they connect with their kids, and just being able to have a healthy relationship with their emotions in general. I feel like, overall, I feel like this is definitely something that we are trying to unlearn for everyone, men and women included, and especially in the Black community. We like, listen, we're not about to keep stuffing this shit down. We trying to unlearn and break these generational curses here. But I really wanted to get it, of course, from a Black male's perspective, because I think out of everyone, Black men especially struggle with just being in touch and having a healthy relationship with their emotions and not feeling like their masculinity and manhood is now being threatened or weakened or challenged and whatnot. So I figured NTV and AG were like perfect people to have on for this episode. So that starts with my first question. What were you guys taught about emotions growing up as a man and as a Black man, especially? What were you guys taught about emotions?
I think I was taught more that, you know, these streets and this life that you live is going to be hard. You know what I mean? Like, it's tough. And you have to be able to endure that. And you have to be able to stay strong while doing it. And I think I got more of that from my dad. And that was based off of, you know, what he went through as a Black man growing up in life and taking on a lot of challenges. But, you know, on the flip side, though, I did get that comforting from my mom to where it was more so like, you know, make sure you are in tune with yourself, though. You know what I mean? Make sure that you're not trying to be a hero in everything. You know what I mean? Like, make sure that you know that, you know, there are times where you're going to fail, per se. There's going to be times where you're not going to know something or understand it, and that's okay. So I think I got a little balance, but I think as a man, and not just necessarily, you know, getting it from your parents because you go to school and you out here in the world. So you start picking up things from other people as well. And the major was, you're a Black man. You got to be strong. You got to, you know, fight for your rights and make sure that you're protective and make sure that you taking care of things. So I think that was the major of what I got growing up.
Okay. MTV, please.
And that's the That's dope too. And like the thing, like I kind of feel like one thing that like a lot of times when that question gets asked, we kind of like naturally gravitate toward how our parents, you know, kind of like necessarily and gave us like what type of communication outlets were we given from our parents. I think a lot of times we kind of forget to especially at the younger age, the type of feedback and communication that we got from our peers and from our friends was a little bit even more powerful for them from what we got from our parents. Cause you know, I grew up in a household where I saw it, I grew up with my grandparents and my father. So I saw a nucleus family with my grandparents. I saw a loving, I got all the love and I was able to like, you know, communicate with them however I needed to communicate with them. But at the same time, society, our friends, music, television, all of that was telling me, nigga, suck it up, quit acting like a bitch. Nigga, you know what I'm saying? I'm gonna give you something to cry about. Oh, nigga, you acting like a punk right now. So like, even though in my household, I was given, you know, a free space to be able to, you know, say whatever I did. Like my grandmother, for example, bro, like I literally tell my grandmother anything. I'm talking about forever in my life and it'd be perfectly fine. And even with my pops, you know, for the most part, he was always very available to me. And I never felt uncomfortable talking. Like a lot of the things that you kind of feel uncomfortable talking to your father about, me and my pops would have open conversations about, you know what I'm saying? But at the same time, even though I still had that good experience at home and that good foundation at home, a lot of times I still wouldn't share it because I still felt like I was acting like a bitch. Like, you know what I'm saying? So even though the parents did the right thing, and plus two, you know, me and AG, like, you know, we blessed enough that we're able to have those good parental foundations. The majority of our culture and our era, didn't have that. You know what I'm saying? They had maybe an abusive parent or maybe a single parent household or maybe a foster care or, you know, whatever the situation may have been. Like, man, I got a homegirl, and you know, I obviously ain't gonna tell all her business, but you know, she got three kids and she says she's never willingly been with a man. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, God damn, like, what are you talking about? She's like, yeah, foster care. I'm like, nigga, this was like mind-blowing to me. She has three children and she's never willingly been with a man. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I know we're talking about, you know, men and our feelings and our emotions and whatnot, but I mean, the same thing could be going on with men too. Men get abused, or boys, I should say, boys get abused in foster care too. Boys get abused in Catholic churches. Boys get abused in motherfucking football coaches and all kind of shit. So, you know what I'm saying? And they don't have these free spaces and these safe spaces to be able to communicate. I think it's changing now. I think it's a lot better the era we're in now. But at the same time, you know, how do we know for sure? How do we really know? Because like, oh, let's you like even to your point, like with this Zoom shit, with the pandemic and stuff, you know, a lot of like child abuse and stuff got discovered on Zoom calls while teachers was looking at their students like, what is that in the background? Oh my God, you know what I'm saying? So it really is a thing where it's not just the parents are enough, you know, like where it really does take a village and it really does need to be a point where we as a society need to do better to let our young Black men and our young Black boys know that they have a voice.
I definitely agree. And a reason why, of course, I wanted to touch on this because I'm raising a young Black boy, as y'all know, my baby 5, and he also has autism. So trying to understand his emotions is a bit more of a struggle because he's not always able to communicate them fully. He knows happy, sad, mad, and scared. Like he knows the basics, right? And then like there's times where, because I'm not always sure what may trigger as what we call his meltdowns, because you know, with him having autism, it could be a change in routine, it could be just anything, or sensory, or you know, just something that he's not used to that could cause him to, you know, have a meltdown. And that could be where he's angry or he's crying. I've seen him just like throw himself to the floor or hit himself in the head, you know. It really, and the thing is, since he can't say like, I'm mad because of this, or I'm sad because of this, it's hard sometimes for me to always know, okay, what exactly is he feeling? And then there's times where he says, I'm mad, but then I'll be like, are you really mad, Terrence? And then I start playing with him, tickling, he start laughing and smiling. And I'll hear myself say, okay, so you're not really mad because you're laughing and smiling. And then in my mind, I think, oh, wait, should I really be saying that? Right, because we know right. that we can put on a face and act like things are okay when they're not. Right. But I have to say, I've come to know my child. Sometimes he does say he mad when he really not, and that's just right. hoping he can get his way, as most right. kids do. But yeah, but I will say with that, I try my best to be very mindful of that, because I want him to know that he can express his feelings. So I make sure to say, Terrence, use your words. Why are you mad? What is making you mad? Or what is making you sad? Like, I really try to get him to use his words, or try to figure out a way to tell me so I can understand, because I want him to have that safe space, even at 5 years old. Like, I want to lay that foundation now, because I've seen what it does to people when they don't have that space to do it. And it is traumatic when people go through emotional neglect. Which falls under the lines of emotional abuse. You know, a lot of people just think emotional abuse is just like insults or name calling or public humiliation, but emotional neglect, being dismissive, deflecting emotions, not allowing a person to express
your emotions too.
Yeah. And telling them, oh, you're crazy for how you feel, or you're just making a big deal and you need to stop being so sensitive. All of that is being emotionally abusive and neglectful, because the person's not getting their emotional needs. And I think with men, and especially our Black men, we have each of our own plights, but we know Black men especially, that right. has been really hard. And whether that's, you know, the father saying you need to be a man and be a provider and suck it up, or the mom is making the little boy be the man of the house because there is no man there, at 12,
right? The house now, little Jimmy.
Mm-hmm. So it's emotionally damaging anyway, either way. And so then as they get older, that overflows into everything else. So that's another, that's like I said, another big reason why I really wanted to do this topic, because I know there's other moms like me who are raising Black boys. And I know that I think a lot of us now, we're just trying to make sure our Black boys know, like, it's okay to cry. It's okay to say you're angry, or it's okay to say you're mad, and then helping them to learn how to respond and regulate their emotions in the right way.
And on the flip side of that coin too, Lex, like don't just be in touch with your negative emotions, but it's also okay to be in touch with your positive emotions. Mm-hmm. AG, I tell you, I tell that nigga all the time, hey, I love you, bro. Appreciate you. You know what I'm saying? My nigga, love you.
So, yes, that too.
Don't just be okay to cry and okay to, like, you know, let your negative emotions out. Be okay with your positive emotions. Be okay.
Yes, sir.
Hey, bro, I love you, man. Like, you know what I'm saying? You my nigga looking out on that. You know what I'm saying? Like, be okay showing that side of yourself. And with your lady, too, even with your lady. Like,
yeah,
be acting all tough with your lady. Like, let your lady know, like, hey, babe, you know, I really appreciate you. You know what I'm saying? Like, we oftentimes think it's like a sign of weakness to be positive. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. To be good, to be.
But that is, though, that's. That's the way society has it deemed, though. So,
right.
And then if you get caught up in that, then yeah, that's what happens.
Right.
So we as Black men need to, like, you know, be in touch with our emotions as a whole. Because, like, I think a lot of times, sometimes the focus is just being in touch with the negative emotions. Like, you know, when you lose somebody, or when, you know, somebody done you wrong, that's when you need to be in touch with them. Now, when somebody do something good, be in touch with that too. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I definitely agree, especially with, like you said, being able to say I love you and not feel like, you know, when you see posts and people saying, like, ooh, they all hugged up. What's wrong with two men hugging each other? Just right. two men hugging each other does not mean they gay. It does not mean they on the download. Doesn't mean they bisexual. Like, that has nothing to do with their sexuality. Like, giving hugs or showing affection, that's a love language. Like, physical touch is a part of that. And I think that's why a lot of reasons why men especially struggle with those kind of things, because they were told that that's not okay. You know, like, they were like, no, you're not supposed to hug or do, or you know, just shake up real, like, the quick pitter-patter shake up, and you know, like, you can't actually embrace somebody, you know, without it being now, oh, you're gay, or why they all hugged up like that, like, or getting weird looks, which I've never understood that. Like,
what would
you guys say has helped y'all to really understand, like you said, all of your emotions as a whole? Like, what's really helped y'all to have that healthy relationship with your emotions and being in tune with your emotional needs?
The number one thing for me was therapy. That was the first time where I really kind of realized, like, it's cool to have emotion. It's cool to be affected by emotion. Like, you know, growing up, like, I think I understood that I had emotions, and I understood that I had feelings, but I didn't think it was okay to be affected by it. Like, if one of my partners get killed or something, I just go to school the next day. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's just, you know, that was just life. Like, you can't let whatever's going on actually affects your day. And if, like, you do, that's a sign of weakness. You, like, man, you need to man up. Niggas get shot every day, B. Like, you know what I'm saying? That type of shit.
Die every day. Yeah. Like, it's a regular thing. And it's like,
pull your skirt down, B.
Yeah, dead ass. You know what I'm saying? Like, so, like, when I started going to therapy is when I realized I'm actually allowed to have a bad day. Like, it's cool. Like, nigga, to some bullshit happened today. My nigga, go home. We'll see you tomorrow type shit. You know what I'm saying? So, like, that was the number one thing. And then, like, two, you know, it's your circle, it's your environment. Like, I'm glad AG on the joint with me, because, like, you know, he know for 1000% fact, if I'm going through some whatever, I can hit him up. He know if he going through some whatever, he can hit me up. You know what I'm saying? My man's hand out on the couch, he know for 1000% fact, he can call me anytime. You know what I'm saying? If I'm going through something, I'm calling, you know what I'm saying? So, like, we at a different era now where we okay, like, really checking in on cats and really, like, being able to, like, you know, have the free space and have the open space to talk. Like, AG will tell you another one. Like, when we was leaving the pool party in Houston, I kind of was in a little mood, and I was in, like, a little funk myself. And, like, you know, Playboy James, he could just feel it. Like, Playboy was just feeling it, like, nah, something ain't right with TV. And he just kept turning around looking at me like, nigga, you good? Like, hey, nigga, take that. Hey, what's wrong? Nigga? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, like, and he would not let me sit in my funk because he felt it. You know what I'm saying? So because I had a partner that really loved me and it really, like, you know what I'm saying, like, really fucked with me the long way, like, he wasn't going to let me sit there and bottle them emotions up. He's going to be like, hey, bro, we here to for smoke-free weekend. We about to this and we about to that. You know what I'm saying? And like, yeah. The AG tell you, man, Playboy was not having it. You know what I'm saying? Like, so it's just so, it's just having a strong circle around you, man.
Right. And to piggyback off of that, yeah, the circle is definitely key. You know, you don't realize how people or how God puts people in your lives for reasons, sometimes just seasons, but it's all up to you, you know, how you take on those relationships and allow them to, you know, help you through things that you may be going through or, you know, to see things different. But MTV said, definitely your circle. When it comes down to friends, I'm a part of a fraternity. So, you know, that bond, brotherhood is definitely something that helped me look at life in a whole different perspective. And also the way that, you know, it doesn't have to be your blood, you know what I'm saying? In order for somebody to genuinely love and care for you
and be family and be family.
And family and want the best for you. So, you know, that, you know, you meet good people, man. It's definitely important to make sure that they know that. You know what I'm saying? Like MTV said, you know, it's, hey bro, I love you, man. I appreciate you, you know. And those things help you get those it helps you get those feelings and emotions out.
Right.
And then it becomes more natural, you know, and that's what I was. Yeah. And that's where I was leading into my next one. Just basically like me being able to be an ear, you know what I mean? Like I get, you know, therapy from allowing myself to be a help to someone.
You get therapy from being a therapist.
You feel me?
It'd be like that sometimes.
And I'm not licensed. You know, I ain't taking away from nobody's job because I know that it's endear, you know, work. Facts, yeah. And definitely, you know, I kudos to all of you that do it, you know, Lex. But I've realized that I have been blessed with a helping ear.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It turns back around when we're talking about being able to talk. Yes, I know that that's helpful too, but the part of when we as a people, you know, especially Black men, we don't really have nobody to talk to.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, like we going back to that whole thing of we supposed to be strong. We supposed to be able to just get through shit, let it all slide, let it build up, whatever.
Right.
They can fight it out, fuck it out, shoot it out, whatever.
Drink it out. But, you know what I'm saying? Smoke it out.
You know what I'm saying?
What Moneybagg Yo said, my therapy in this cup.
Right. Right. So, and that's some real shit too, because we so often find the wrong outlets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yeah, being an outlet is definitely, you know, helpful in being able to secure my feelings and emotions and be able to deal with them, you know, on the regular.
And you know what's powerful about you saying that, AD, because I kind of was thinking something similar to that, is like the more you speak out on your own and the more vulnerable you are, the more you kind of, you know, infect your circle as well, because open you are with yourself, it normalizes it and it makes it, you know, like more genuine, natural. Mm-hmm. And it's like now one of your partners is a little bit more apt to like open up with you because you had already opened up with them, you know what I'm saying? So like
that's real.
It's like one of them things where each one teach one, for real. Yep. Like the more in touch you get with yourself, the more in touch I'm going to get with me, because it's just infectious. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, we feeding off each other. Yeah, for sure.
Right. Yeah, that's really powerful that you said that. And I'm glad you made that point.
Yeah, yes, I love the fact that y'all both touched on the fact, like both of you, you and MNTV mentioned in therapy, and then you got NAG, you talking about how if I open up, both of y'all saying how if I open up, everyone else open up in my circle. Just the theme of it being natural, I think, is like the big point we really need to drive home, because like a lot of people don't feel, like you said, having emotions is natural. Like I said, a lot of people just feel like, okay, happy, sad, angry, scared. We know the basics, right? But like right. really understanding those underlying emotions, like what's below the surface is a big one. And like, I literally, I'm educating people on this every day. And like, I can tell how much, like I said, society or, you know, how people were raised and when the era of time they were raised, how emotion, like we get all this other education, how to be an adult, how right. to do math, how to know
add, how to bake cookies.
We are lacking.
I don't need to know how to bake cookies.
And yeah, and we are lacking the education of emotions. And the thing is, emotions are scientific. They your yeah. brain runs your emotions. Like your yeah. body responds to emotions. Like right. there's nothing like this, there's nothing opinion or belief about like emotions. This isn't a factual thing that we can prove.
I tell people it's worse bad than it is to drive drunk.
Hey, emotions make you cry sometimes.
Yeah. And you know, hey, and you know what's crazy, Lex, about what you said? You said like the basics is happy, scared, angry, sad.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Or disgust and surprise. Those are the other ones. I think of Inside okay. Out. If you ever seen Disney's Inside Out, that's like the perfect segue to understand emotion. Yo, I was Inside like, oh my gosh.
Like one of the most powerful movies. That movie was dumb powerful. I can't even lie.
Yes,
to.
That movie was. I said, look at Disney teaching the culture. Yes. Right. Yeah.
but you know what's crazy about that? Like that kind of goes back to what I was saying earlier, how so much focus is on the negatives of it. It's mm-hmm. only one positive. I mean, I guess technically you could say surprise might be a good one, but like disgust, anger, sadness, what was up? Being scared. Like mm-hmm. it's so much focus on all the negative aspects of emotion. Like there really need to be more focus on like, because there's more than just happiness. Like there can also yeah. be like, you know, just, I don't know, fulfilling or
no, yeah. And I talk about that with clients too, because I have a lot of clients like dealing with, of course, like depression and stuff. And they say, I just want to be happy. And I say, okay, now you understand that being happy is subjective. You know, right. what right. fulfills you may not fulfill me and vice versa. So are you, maybe it's not just you want, right. So maybe it's not you just want to be happy, but maybe you need to feel fulfilled. Maybe you need to feel content. Maybe you need to feel proud, normal. Accepted, confident, you know,
right.
Happy has underlying emotions attached to it too.
Right.
Like I've definitely talked happiness with clients about understanding achieve. What, like how they define in the perspective of what it means to be or feel happy for sure. Right.
I agree with that 1,000%. Cause sometimes like, especially dealing with depression, sometimes I don't need to get quite to happiness. Let me just get to not feeling shitty. Like,
can I just feel better?
Yeah.
Can I just feel okay?
Cool.
You know what I'm saying?
Can
I be stable? Man. Oh shit. Oh, I got another one too, where it's like kind of a similar, little, and I hope I'm not going on too much. Just shut me up if you need me to. But like, I got this, like my 20-year college reunion was on Saturday. Right.
Oh,
you
yeah.
know what I'm saying? And I was supposed to go down Friday night. I kind of like got caught up and I just got tired. And I'm like, man, I'm going to see y'all Saturday morning. I woke up Saturday morning and I was just in a funk. Like, I just wasn't feeling it. I just like, you know, Lex, you know, depression don't have no alarm clock. Like, you know what I'm saying? But like, I basically was supposed to wake up Saturday morning and like go down to Wittenberg, and I woke up and I just was not feeling it. Like I really was not going to go. And this is my 20-year college reunion. People waiting on me. Bianca got a hotel room for us. She got all, you know what I'm saying? Like we over there, like about to kick it. Like we about to have a great time. But my body was not letting me leave the room. Like I couldn't get it. And luckily, one of my college roommates, Rob Harris, you know what I'm saying? He called me up. He said, hey, bro, where you at? I'm like, man, I'm still at the crib. I ain't even left yet. He said, bro, I'm 15 minutes from campus, bro. If you don't get in the shower, put some water on your face, brew you a cup of coffee. Like, he just gave me like a little pep talk. And it was what I needed to snap out of my little funk, my little state. And I didn't even really, like, I'm just really sitting here like, I'm about to miss this whole thing. But like, because my brother called me up, like, and really gave me that little pep talk, it got me to snap out of that, you know, my moment. And I hopped in the shower, brewed me a cup of coffee, and I was on the road. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's all it takes sometimes.
Yeah, right. I feel sometimes emotions do just hit. Like you said, you was having a good-ass time. Next you know, it was like, damn, I'm in my funk again.
Just all of a sudden, Eeyore shows up. Like, you go from right. Tigger to Eeyore.
I swear, bro.
Right, for real.
I was telling with my therapist, like the last few months, I talked about this on when I was on Herspective with D Dowdy and B Michelle. The last few with the months, the way work and stuff has been for me, I've I don't deal with like ongoing depression. My thing is mostly anxiety and like PTSD related stuff. But I definitely felt like I was dealing with the mild depression. Like I was still eating regular, getting out of bed and going to work. But like I had no motivation. I just felt tired. I felt drained. I just felt like I couldn't get anywhere. I was experiencing like some hopelessness and just feeling like, okay, I can't. I got no work-life balance. My house is a mess. I can't work out. I'm struggling being single. My child is, I feel like I can't meet my child's needs and emotionally, and I feel like I'm failing and I just feel like I can't get anywhere. like, and that's why I say a lot of times, like when I do fall off with podcasting, it's not that I don't want to record or not that I don't love it anymore. I do. But a lot of times that funk be kicking in and I just be like, I can't, the creativity shuts down. I just can't get past it. Look at here, y'all plugging the book.
Hey. I got it right here on my bookshelf.
Nah, don't even trip because I tried to segue this in real quick. I just want to do a quick surprise because I know we're going to get done here sooner than later. But just to intervene real quick.
No, you're fine. Talk your shit because, yes, plug the book.
You have been gifted a free copy of my book.
Oh, thank you.
You have. But you could thank me, but you can also thank Black Paco.
Turn up.
You know what I'm saying? Paco, man, that's a stand-up guy, man. He said, hey, look, AG, I ain't even going to hold you, man. He's like, you know what I'm saying? I want to support you. But he's like, I ain't going to read it. He was like, man, you know what I'm saying?
That's Paco, man.
Hey, he said, gift it to whoever you need to gift it to. And I said, well, you know what? We both know her. Her name is Lex. And he was like, there it is then. So I got your book. I'm gonna sign it. I need you to send me your info again.
Okay, I'm gonna do that. Thank you so much.
Yo, shout out to my brother Black Paco, man. One of the realest.
He said, yeah, I ain't gonna read it.
Yeah, right. Flat out. And
look, that was an honest emotion.
For sure. But yeah,
said, I mean, I'll read it. No, he's like,
I ain't gonna read it, bro. So I said, man, I appreciate that 100%. But on the flip side, though, if y'all interested, man, I do have a book called Hiccups. We all have them. It is on Amazon, but you can check me out on my Instagram right now, the new page, which is all.good5show. And you can DM and let me know. I'll send it to you, signed copy, you know what I'm saying? Right to you with your beautiful package and everything, man. It's a great book. It's a motivational biography. I know we're going through things and the reality is we can all relate in some kind of way. And that's what I want to do with this. So, if you're interested, just let me know. Let Lex know. She'll give me the info and we'll get it to you.
I definitely will. Okay. So I just got a couple more questions and we're going to wrap up here. So we talked about, you know, emotional abuse and neglect in dating, for example. And we talked about some red flags earlier. Have you all as men ever felt emotionally abused or neglected in like dating relationships or maybe in family relationships?
Well, it's crazy you asked that because I was going to say something about that earlier and I think we kind of got sidetracked, but like what you were saying, how like, you know, like the man feeling like they're not allowed to be a certain type of man because they've been told that either by the father or by the mother. But at the same time, I was going to say, man, also too, by our significant others or the chicks that we dating or the chicks that we, that's why you acting like, you know what I'm saying? Like a lot of times, man, like these
that's
old.
That's why you acting like a bitch. You need to be a man.
I know plenty of women that purposely will try to get a negative reaction out of you because that's what they saw growing up. They seen they father beating on they woman or you know, on they mother or whatever, you know what I'm saying? Or getting all drunk and getting all whatever, you know what I'm saying? So like, I know plenty of times where women and like, you know, like I remember one time specifically, this chick just continued like trying to push like a button further. Like she saw no reaction here. Okay, I'm gonna go here. No reaction here. Okay, I'm gonna go here. No reaction here. Okay, now I'm playing the big joker. And that's when she got a reaction. You know what I'm saying? Like she hit the big joker. Like she kept on throwing these clubs, wasn't getting nothing. She's like, okay, big joker. You know what I'm saying? So like 1,000%, like I've been in several situations where like a significant other purposely tried to like take you to a place where you're not supposed to be. Mm-hmm. And that's just that toxicity. That's that bullshit. I don't know. You know, like that's what they like. red flag is like an understatement. You know what I'm saying? Like once a woman like purposely tries to get a physical response from me, I can no longer associate with you in no type of fashion. You know what I'm saying?
Now, I've never liked situations where women, like you said, intentionally or purposely provoke a man. Like, you ain't gonna do nothing, nigga, and then be muffing them in the head. Right. You ain't gonna do nothing. You, what you gonna do? I wish you would choke me, nigga. Do like, I'm like, so, but then if he do it, oh, he beat me. He's abusive. Right. Wait, now hold on, man, hold on. That's what we not about to do.
and that's one of them situations where, you know, context is everything. Now, don't get me wrong. I 100% believe that man should never hit a woman. But I also feel like every time we say that sentence, the sentence should be followed with, and women should never intentionally try to make a man hit them either. You know what I'm saying?
Agree. Absolutely agree.
Yeah. So me personally, I haven't been in an abusive relationship with a woman. Maybe, you know, mentally, not physically. Sometimes, you know, it comes down to, you know, differences and, you know, wants and needs. But the reality is, man, you know, at a young age, I saw abuse, you know, right. What I mean? And it was terrifying, you know what I mean? To see abuse happen to, you know, my creator. You know what I'm saying? Like, so I went about life, you know, totally different. I know a lot of times as you grow, you can tend to do things that you see, you know, like that you saw. So you end up being like that, or you end up taking on those type of traits. But the reality was, I told myself that I would do the total opposite. You know what I mean? So when it came down to prevention in relationships and things, they, you know, they say an ounce of prevention is, hold on, let me say it right, goes a pound of, dang, y'all, I done blew it.
Take your time, Pastor.
An ounce of prevention goes.
An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of the cure.
Worth a pound of cure, exactly.
I just Googled it real quick.
Thank you. My bro, that's my nigga. See? That's my nigga. You know what I mean?
An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of the cure.
It's worth a pound of the cure. So if you can take that ounce of prevention, you know what I mean? Like, you don't have to worry about dealing with certain things. And now, don't get me, you know, wrong. It don't work every time. But in my mind, I realize that, you know, those precautions can help me not be in a lot of the situations that I hadn't been in my life when it came down to, you know, relationship issues and you know, family issues and things like that. So that's just something I live by, but
that's real. But
definitely.
I feel that. Okay. Lastly, so when we talked about vulnerability and how people often take vulnerability as a sign of weakness. So how has being vulnerable actually helped you guys with feeling like whole in your manhood, like actually feel like I am a man, like I do fit the definition of a real man?
For me personally, it allows me to be genuine. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like it allows me to be myself. Like, I don't like being a fake facade type of person. Like, if I'm having a bad day, I kind of want a motherfucker to know I'm having a bad day, so I ain't got going through the motions and shit. You know what I'm saying? So, like, being vulnerable and, like, being open and real with feelings and stuff, like, it just allows me to be a genuine person. And at the end of the day, it allows me to be a happier person. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, if I can get out the bullshit and the, you know what I'm saying, like the sadness and the anger, if I can talk about it, I done released it now. You know what I'm saying? Like, now it's gone. Like, now I can go on about my day. Now I can let that happiness in. You know what I'm saying? So for me, man, it made me better because like to your point earlier, Lex, when you was talking about just being complete and being whole, I feel like whole knowing the certain things and like bottling certain things up, it was emptying me out more so than it was fulfilling me.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying? So it helped me become a man because now in my vulnerability, not only do I understand myself better, but I even understand like, you know, like my lady better or something. You know what I'm saying? Like now I understand how to listen to you and how to be a resource for you because now I know what I need.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. And knowing what I need, it helps me be a better resource for you because now I can understand what you need.
Right. Yeah. That empathy is better.
Yeah.
Right. Empathy. I believe that, you know, being vulnerable can help, you know, not just your relationship, you know, with your lady, but period. Like,
period. Yeah.
With life, with people, you know what I mean, that you encounter. With me, like I said earlier, I found myself being a people person and I'm okay with that. So with the fact that I know that I deal with people a lot, I understand that being vulnerable is helpful in building and, strengthening relationships. But also, you know, being therapeutic for myself. So,
right.
I feel like when you are okay with going against what the quote unquote stereotype or the odds are, that's when you know that you are in tune with yourself and that you
right.
are a man.
Right.
So that's where that vulnerability piece comes in and plays key parts in life.
I love to see it. I love it. Well, thank you guys so much for coming on this episode. Here, hurry up and plug y'all shit before the Zoom time's out because we on that 1 minute mark. go ahead, AG, go ahead, plug your shit real quick.
Hey, real quick, all dot good five show, Instagram, Facebook. Check me out. It'll be more info to come soon. And I'll throw it to you, Lex, and we'll keep it moving like that.
Cool.
Hey, for me, I'm gonna make it real simple. Just poolside chats anywhere, man. Twitter, Instagram.com, whatever. Email at iCloud.com, all that good shit.
All righty. And then y'all can find the Free Space Podcast on Facebook and Instagram at the Free Space Podcast, Twitter @_free_space. Email the Free Space Pod at gmail.com. This is episode 72, Men and Emotions, featuring MTV and AG. Thank y'all so much for tuning
Thank you.
In. And y'all be blessed.
Turn up. Thank you.
Love.